Everybody needs care at some point in their lives, if not as elders or when injured or sick, then certainly as children. But a study of what it calls the care economy in Oregon says the state is failing to invest in the social infrastructure needed to make high-quality care available to everyone who needs it at whatever stage of life. JPR's Liam Moriarty reports.
Paula Alamong welcomes me into her home near Merlin in Josephine County as her elderly dog Wally checks out the visitor.
Wonder dog.
I just came from doing 48 hours, getting paid for 32, but being in the person's home for 48 hours so that the family members could get a break.
Alamong settles wearily into a lounge chair while her husband operates a wood splitter out near the garden. Alamong loves her work. Helping people in need gives her a deep sense of satisfaction. But she says it's hard.
I haven't had a shower in 2 days. You know, you wake up at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, and you don't go to bed until 10 o'clock at night.
Dealing with someone elderly or developmentally disabled or mentally ill, she says that's what the job requires.
When you're a caregiver, you come second, and the care needs of the person you're with come first.
Despite those demands, the pay is modest. Alamong says that without her husband's income, she couldn't manage.
If you're single, you're not going to be able to support yourself because these jobs don't pay. There's just no money in it.
Lily Hogue says that's true.
Folks working in paid care jobs are making on average $10 an hour with very limited access to benefits.
Hogue is director at Oregon CareWorks, which commissioned a study of Oregon's care economy. CareWorks is a project of the nonprofit group Family Forward and the Service Employees International Union Local 503, which represents, among others, care workers. Hogue says the study found there are about 70,000 paid care workers in the state. Nearly all are women and are disproportionately women of color.
Which means that these are also people who likely are providing unpaid care at home for their own children. So we have an entire economy focused around women providing paid and unpaid care, and we're not valuing it on either side.
The study also found care workers were much more likely than American workers as a whole to be receiving government benefits, such as food stamps. While caregivers are poorly compensated, the cost of hiring care work is very high. For example, infant care in Oregon costs an average of $14,000 a year. That's more than half what an average single-parent family makes. So the woman who earns $10 an hour doing home health care for elderly people typically can't afford to pay for daycare for her own children when she goes to work. Hogue says all these factors contribute to high turnover among care workers.
60% in the long-term care fields. In group homes, we're averaging 90%.
And Hogue says that has a predictably negative effect on the availability and quality of care. Laura Dresser says all this points to the need for Oregon and the U.S. as a whole to enact policies to make caregiving more sustainable for both providers and receivers.
A substantial systemic investment in infrastructure for child care and home health care systematically can change the way your economy works.
Dresser is with the Center on Wisconsin Strategy at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and a co-author of the Care Economy Study. During the recent session of the Oregon legislature, Dresser told the Senate Workforce Committee that care is a social good and, if properly supported, has broad social benefits.
We know that investments in kids pay off in the long run, not only for their kids and their families, but also for the economy in general, and the same for women and having that support.
Dresser said policies on paid family leave, flexible work schedules, and fairer compensation for care workers would go a long way toward easing economic stress on families giving and receiving care. In 2015, Oregon lawmakers boosted pay and benefits for some home care workers. Last session, they made sure increased funding for care agencies led to better pay for care workers. Back in her living room after that 48-hour shift, Paula Alamong says she's seeing growing demand on the care system.
This is going to be the biggest industry with baby boomers, and it's not going to go away.
If boomers expect to get the quality care they're going to need, she says, changes will have to be made, and fast. Liam Moriarty, JPR News.
And you can find that report and pretty much everything we do at JPR News online at ijpr.org, which contains the website for the program within it, which is jeffexchange.org, where you can see all of the interviews that we have done here in the Exchange with recordings attached to those, once the programs have aired. So that's all at ijpr.org and jeffexchange.org. And, of course, you can take part in the program as it happens at 800-838-3760 by phone and by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Southern Oregon Historical Society puts on a party next weekend. The Hanley Farm Music Festival could not have a more explanatory name. People playing music, and now you know where. The event is a fundraiser for the Historical Society, which has had a rough few years, a couple of decades, in fact, with the disappearance of its old funding source. Let's get the details on the coming fundraiser and the set of conditions that demand fundraising. Alice Mullally from the Historical Society is back with us. She is functioning as the music festival coordinator. Welcome, Alice.
Thank you.
And so have you ever put on a music festival before?
I have never been involved in putting on a music festival before, nor has the rest of the committee, but we did get the services of Ariella St. Clair's, who has definitely put on many music festivals and helped us find the musicians and the technical aspects needed for
it. So you didn't have to totally reinvent the wheel.
We did not reinvent the wheel.
So what is the overall plan for the festival? What give us a sense of the shape of it all and what's going to happen?
Well, the gates open at noon, and the music starts shortly thereafter. We have five different groups, wonderful eclectic mix of musicians and styles, and then the music goes on until 8 o'clock, and there are lots of other things that go on between the sets of music. The Jacksonville Farmers Market will be out there. Their usual day is Sunday, but Saturday they're going to be at Hanley Farm. And we have very unusual raffle items, anywhere from picnic baskets that are stuffed with hundreds of dollars worth of coupons and gift certificates, as well as picnic items, to some Jim Belushi items that he donated for us that are all autographed, to two laying hens and the coop that goes with them.
Really?
A little different kind of an item for a raffle.
You're trying to get a little farm theme here, it sounds
the
like.
The little farm theme. We have a couple of wonderful food vendors. Kristen Lyons Farm Kitchen. And the truck, I always have to look at it because I never remember what it's called. Word on the street, the greatest fish tacos, apparently, that one has ever had.
All right, so nobody's going to want for food, it sounds like.
There'll be plenty of food, and there's beer and wine sales. Standing Stone Brewery has donated a good amount of beer for us, and we have local wines, and it should be lots of fun.
The raffle sounds like a lot of fun. And Jim Belushi, I have to say, seems like he's become a bit of a Southern Oregon cash cow in some ways.
He was very generous.
Since he moved to the region. He's done some work for the Holly
Theater.
The Holly and the Hanley, I guess.
Yes. Right. No, he was very generous with his items. So that'll be fun.
So I read a piece you wrote about what else, the history of band events in the region, and it sounds like Jacksonville had a few events long before the Brit festivals even got started.
Yeah, back in the 1880s, they had a big band festival that drew 2,500 people. That's got to be a lot of people in the 1880s.
Wow, that must have doubled the size of Jacksonville.
Or more.
Yeah.
And they performed on the balcony of the U.S. Hotel. Several different bands from all over Southern Oregon and Northern California, and it was a competition. And then in the evening, they played for dancing in the street. So Jacksonville just continues a long tradition of such things.
That sounds fun. Music in Jacksonville. We're talking about the Hanley Farm Music Festival, a presentation of the Southern Oregon Historical Society. Alice Mullally is the festival coordinator and a longtime volunteer at the Historical Society. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 with questions about either the festival or the society. You can also send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Was I incorrect in identifying you as a volunteer? Have you ever been a paid staffer at the
Society? No, I've never been paid staff there.
Mm-hmm. But you, judging by how often we hear your name on the As It Was segment, you have been cranking out historical writing for years.
I've written for As It Was since the beginning of the second set in 2005.
With the voice by
Shirley.
Shirley Patton.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
And I've worked at the farm and in the library, and I don't know, it became my second life after I retired.
What did you retire from?
From teaching mathematics here at the college.
Okay, so not a history teacher, though.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. No. But I did grow up in this area when my parents were interested, and I have a long Oregon background. And so it just was kind of natural to look at local history and be involved in it.
How fascinating is that, though, to look at local history from the perspective of, I mean, taking in a historian sort of perspective of it, other than to just like, well, I remember so-and-so from my own childhood. Oh.
We have a very unique opportunity in this valley because the Historical Society started 71 years ago and collected items from the pioneer families and people early on and then all along. Because they had public funding, they had professional archivists and collections people. That collection is just huge, and it's very unique for a region to have such an extensive collection. I think it's probably as big a collection as any regional history place anywhere. So there's so much available to the historian that it's just kind of like playing in paradise to be able to write about it.
Because, as you point out, since it started in 1946, there were still people who had memories, at least, of the people who had been here in the early years.
There were a lot of descendants of pioneer families mm-hmm. that had kept all of their families' things, like the Hanleys had, and mm-hmm. were very instrumental in starting the Historical Society.
The Hanleys were?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us a bit of the story of the Hanley Farm. It's actually, so part of the, what was the original Hanley Farm is now the Extension Service, too, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. The Hanleys came to that property in 1857, mm-hmm. so that's 160 years ago. And that first generation bought two donation land claims, so they had about 640 acres, raised wheat and hay, and mules were their primary cash crop. They had six children that lived to adulthood, and when the parents died, their daughter Alice inherited the home, which is the beautiful house you see when you drive down Hanley Road. That was built in 1875. She inherited the home and 110 acres, which she farmed by herself for 50 years. And in the early 1900s, her older brother and his wife both passed away, leaving three young daughters who were farmed out to different aunts and uncles. And the youngest, a six-year-old Claire, came to live with Alice Hanley. And so Claire grew up on the place, and when Alice died in 1940, the three, Claire and her two sisters decided to come and join her living there. And so they formed the third generation there, and they're the ones that started the Historical Society. And then Mary Hanley, the last of them to live, left the 37 acres that was left of the place to the Southern Oregon Historical Society. And in the 1960s, they had sold the rest of the property to the county to be used for the Extension Service, which is next door.
Mm-hmm. How big was the farm originally? Before
it was 640 acres originally.
Wow. So that explains why there's a Hanley Road and Hanley Hill and Hanley this and that, because it was probably all part of the farm originally.
That's true. And Ross Hanley Road mm-hmm. went on the edge of it between the Rosses and the Hanleys.
Right. Yeah, the Ross, was they another farming family, the Rosses?
They were, though. General Ross, Colonel Ross, depending on which history you read, mm-hmm. Was also involved in many other things.
Yeah. Alice Mullally is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She is a volunteer at the Southern Oregon Historical Society and the coordinator of the coming fundraiser this weekend, Saturday, August 5th, noon to 8 p.m., out at Hanley Farm, the Hanley Farm Music Festival. You can join our conversation on the Exchange about the history of the Historical Society or the farm or the event coming up 4 days into the future. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So we have talked about the Historical Society's formation, and it did have public money at one time. And this is a really interesting story, and not a happy one, obviously, for the society itself. But there was, at one time, a property tax levy that went directly to SOHS, and it was in perpetuity, wasn't it?
Originally designed that way. Passed in 1948 and lasted until there was legislation in the state in the late 1990s that rolled those levies into the county general fund to be administered by the county commissioners. And at a time when it was very difficult for the county, they needed the money, and so that money was rolled into that fund, and we were slowly weaned off of it.
So the tax base that had existed for the Historical Society became part of the tax base for the county.
Correct.
So they began levying what had been the money for the Historical Society as money for the county general fund.
Correct.
Which came at a time, obviously, when timber revenues were dropping drastically.
Yes, it was a very difficult time for the county. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. So, and the same thing had happened for the library levy and other things.
Mm-hmm. Which is why there's now been the creation of a library district in Jackson County.
Correct.
Now, there was an effort to do a similar sort of thing for the historical societies, plural, not just the SOHS.
Correct. There are 15 historical societies in Jackson County, which is really remarkable.
That is, especially because there's only 10 municipalities in the county.
Well, they're not all in municipalities. Uh-huh. So, Buncombe, for example, not a municipality anymore.
Had been at one time, though.
Well, I think they had a post office.
All right, Buncombe's up in the Applegate Valley,
right.
Little Applegate. Yeah.
All right.
So, Jackson County just really well endowed with people who are interested in history? Is that how this situation came about, do you think?
I think that's part of it, and then having had collecting for so long and the ability to show the collections and things like that. And we're beginning to turn that around now. The Historical Society had to lay off staff the end of last year, became a volunteer-based organization. There's a leadership core of about 30 volunteers and then a great many more that actually put things on. And they've really turned things around in the last 6 months. It's quite remarkable to see. We have a balanced budget. We are partnering with a number of organizations, as we have for some things like the As It Was program with JPR and the library system with the Windows in Time talks and things like that. There's long-range planning going on. We've managed to take care of some of the deferred maintenance projects that had been waiting to be done. We partnered with the Southern Oregon University Anthropology Lab to do a huge archaeological dig so that we could put a new septic system in, the kinds of things you have to have, but you don't realize with a historic property how many things go into that.
And that's at the farm you're talking about?
At the farm, mm-hmm. And the State Historic Preservation Office was involved in all of that, too.
Known as SHPO'd, everybody involved in it, right?
That's right. So it turned out to be a huge undertaking.
Wow. So what kinds of things were you running across there? And I know that we have, once a month, we have the folks from the Laboratory of Anthropology on here with our underground history segment. So were they finding some amazing artifacts as they...
There have been a number of digs over the years at Hanley Farm. And so I don't think they found anything any new or different. But in the very top layers, they find pieces of pottery and things that from the European settlement. And then lots and lots of Native American arrowheads and tools as you go down the layers. And that's an area that they were digging that had been disturbed a lot before because there had been a previous septic system there many years ago. So,
Alice Malone is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She is with the Southern Oregon Historical Society. So you talked about the collection. I mean, so where can the collection be displayed right now? Because you only have Hanley Farm and you have the History Center downtown, right?
Well, that's one of the things we're working on. We hope to be able to have more and more and unique or different ways to display the nearly million artifacts that we have in the collection.
Wow.
So we're negotiating with different groups. We're talking. We're getting ideas. So that's part of the long-range planning is to come up with ways to get more of our items where people can see them.
And has one or several people gotten really good at writing grant applications?
We have a number of grant writers that are very generous with their time. And first comes the planning because you want to have these kind of an incremental steps. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of long-range planning going on for both the collection and the farm. so that we know what we want those grants for, and they're all leading to something down the line that's important.
But you sound quite energized by the recent progress.
Oh, I think it's absolutely phenomenal, really phenomenal how an organization can change that quickly.
And
it was fabulous board.
Mm-hmm. And it was just 8 months ago that there was a levy or an attempt to get a levy
correct.
On the ballot to fund the historical societies, and that failed.
That's correct.
So that was probably a dire moment last November. But
it was not a happy time, but we're on the way up. And this music festival is one of those ways to show that we're here and we're doing great things, and we hope that you'll enjoy it. And
so tell us about the musical acts, because you haven't mentioned them by name yet. What do you have coming out?
Well, the headliners are Karen Lovely and Ben Rice, great blues singers. They're in Portland now, but they perform in this area occasionally. And we're really happy to have them. They're both award winners for their performances as well as their music. The Fret Drifters started at Hanley Farm several years ago, which is really fun to have them come back. And they're such wonderful guitarists. And it's the described is jaw-dropping lead solos. They really are phenomenal.
Right, that's the Fret Drifters. Okay.
Fret Drifters. Intuitive Compass is a really interesting group. And this will be their last performance in the Rogue Valley because they are moving away. But this is like an old-time minstrel show in the 21st century that's been upgraded and a little vaudeville, mm-hmm. a little acrobatics, some traditional folk music. I mean, it's a fascinating group. So last chance to get to see them locally. Phoenix Sigalove is a soulful, rootsy, vocal kind of a guy. Original songs using his Native American background.
And Sage Meadows.
And Sage Meadows from Northern California with her original compositions from the rivers.
So these are all the bands that are arranged for the Hanley Farm Music Festival. That is Saturday, August 5th, noon to 8 p.m. There'll be food out there as well, and a silent auction, all kinds of things going on.
Right.
All right, Alice Mullally at the Southern Oregon Historical Society. Always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.